I was thinking the other morning how incredible the internet actually is. I mean, really, the internet's an incredible thing.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
You see, on the internet, at your instant push of a button, you can get all kinds of misinformation. The internet can have a lot of good stuff. But it's learning how to sift through all the noise, the garbage, the junk, what the tech giants want you to believe, what the tech giants want you to think. See, if you go outside of their narrative, if you're a Facebook user and you post something that very well could be true, there might be a fact checker from Facebook that says, well, your picture is wrong, even though you know it's right, but your picture is wrong. We have to correct you. We need to put a warning up there so when other people see what you post, they can know that we've properly fact-checked your work. Wow. This is the world, the Orwellian world we now live in our tech society. We are being herded. We are being compartmentalized by Google, by Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you name it. Social media is not your friend. Social media may have some worthy aspects, but increasingly, hourly, day by day, I'm watching the noose be tightened just a little bit more on the things you're allowed to think, believe, and say. If you go against anything about the coronavirus, they will shut you down. If you say the wrong thing about a person, you might get suspended for a day, a week, maybe a month. Because see, they want to control you. There is a narrative out there. And no matter how you cut it, it is a very satanic narrative out there to deceive people. Like I said, the internet at your fingertips in a split second can give you 1,000 pieces of misinformation. Google. Compare Google to other search engines. Google is the number one search engine in the world. But they will bias the results to fit the current narrative. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I've learned to use others and check others because you can find out real quick. If you look up a political term, they're going to, if you're looking for, let's say, Joe Biden, the first stories that'll pop up are always positive about Joe Biden and what a great president he and Kamala Harris would make. And really, it's going to be a Kamala Harris. It's going to be a Harris-Biden ticket, not a Biden-Harris ticket if they ever get through. But be that as it may, then type in things like Donald Trump or any conservative, and all the bad stories seem to come up first. They're trying to control the narrative. They said they would do what they could to influence an election. I think it's getting to be the time that all those special protections the internet was given years ago to give it a fighting chance of growing need to be re-examined in the light of truth. Because see, Facebook, Google, Yahoo, another intellectually, spiritually, and morally bankrupt company, they all want to tell you what the news is, no matter what the news actually is. Misinformation at your fingertips and a couple of clicks of a mouse. You're being led astray. In World War II, Joseph Goebbels was the minister of propaganda in Germany, and he learned how to use the media of their day, which was radio and movies. This is before television and all this tech, to manipulate and change the mindset of a population. It's being done again by the tech giants. And you need to be aware of what they're telling you. The coronavirus, the lockdowns, the changes in the way we do business, the fear that many people have. And I see it all the time. I'll see somebody in a car by themselves with I saw one day, and I know others have seen this, wearing a face mask, maybe even a face shield and gloves in their car by themselves, because they're deathly afraid they're going to die, because that's been the narrative. Later this week, I'll be kind of going through some numbers again and give you an idea of where we really are. You'll never find it at NBC. You'll never find it at CBS. You're never going to find it at the mainstream media, because they want you to live in fear, because it's the only way our world is going to be, well, the term is reset. From a theological point of view, is it possible that we are heading into the times the Bible talks about of a great tribulation? Could there be the mark of the beast in a vaccine around the corner? Hard to tell, but it could be. The Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales has been a guest on this program. He's a wealth of knowledge. He spends his time learning and studying and rechecking and triple checking what he shares and knows. I feel very secure when I bring him on the program. And so when you look at the world, Timothy, what do you think of where we are today?
Well, today we're looking at what many are even saying in the news, the possibility of civil war. I'm even hearing the words coup, and it's not coming from some radical left or right. It's coming from government and military.
Yeah.
So we are looking for things that are coming, that are going to be very, very tough times indeed.
Oh, yeah.
Here on the ground in America. And it's going to be violence. That's a foregone conclusion.
Oh, no doubt.
I tend to think the sheeple are going to believe that once the election happens, everything's going to calm down.
Oh,
stop.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Look, you and I, and I'll say this to our listeners, and I'm not going to get into any kind of detail. You and I are looking where we are in this world and where we are in our ministries, where I am with this radio program and podcast. And I thank God that I am not dependent upon Google. I'm not dependent upon Fascist Book. I'm not dependent on Instagram. And I'm not dependent upon Twitter or any of that nonsense, the tech tyrants. I don't, because they're going to fact check me and shut me down, because they're not going to light my facts, because it's not fitting their narrative. And you and I have been called to, you and I are both in ministry. We are called, ordained servants of God. And I just was recently talking to somebody from Australia, and I'm looking at what they're going through there. You think we have it bad here right now? Try to go from one state in Australia to the other. You can't. They've shut their own state borders. You can't go.
They're also a much higher totalitarianism going on there right now.
Which is beaten
to the ground for not having a mask on.
Right.
You would look at a Western country like Australia, and you're flabbergasted that it is undergoing what it is.
Especially knowing their history.
That's coming here. It's on its way.
It's going to work its way across.
It's going to come with the next lockdown is what's going to happen.
Yes.
And I predict that's going to be mid-October at the latest. Because most people are going to rebel against another lockdown, and they know it. So they're going to have to up the ante up with more pressure and more stringent rules. And then you're going to see really what the American people do, right?
Yeah. We're going to find out.
And we're looking at a lot of things being rolled out simultaneously. So I always say to people, take a look at New Zealand. Take a look at Australia, Melbourne and Victoria right now.
Yes.
That's what's coming to America. The only difference, as I've spoken to my friends in Australia, the only difference is they were disarmed and we have not been.
Yeah, big difference. And honestly, and the truth be known, more people today are armed than were at the beginning of this pandemic. I mean, there's just no...
It's gone up 70% gun sales and ammo's in short order because of it.
I know. I really do. So trust me on that one.
We're looking at a lot of things, but I want people to understand, okay, as much as violence and these things are happening and the world's changing at a speed like never before, this is a spiritual issue.
Absolutely.
This is a spiritual issue. And the individuals, BLM, Antifa, they openly not just profess Marxism and communism, but they openly say that they are into the witchcraft and the occult from a West African religion, and that they are bringing ancestors to them to help them to take over and destroy capitalist society. They're on their own web pages. They say the nuclear family has to go, and especially fathers. Get rid of fathers.
Absolutely, because the protector of the household. You know, they're protectors.
Sure.
Women will be the nurturers to, you know, raise the children, but they'll be dependent upon the government to take care of their other needs because there's no father in the home. And this started 60 years ago, for crying out loud. Well, maybe 55 years ago with Lyndon Johnson and the Great Society was the beginning of the tearing down of the nuclear family. We would never have accepted this overnight. I mean,
No, of course not. But now it's at a different level, right? So women are going to be the ones who help nurture the family, but not really. In the end, the state is going to take care of everybody. And women will be pulled aside. Listen, in any communist revolution, you have to remember that the revolutionaries are useful idiots. That's BLM and Antifa, right?
Yeah.
So what you're going to see in every single one, from Stalin, Lenin, Mao, once the revolution is complete and they've obtained power, the first ones they kill and put in camps are the revolutionaries.
Because they can't trust them.
They don't want them turning on them.
They get disarmed.
They're done.
And then dismantled and then, you know, dismembered. Literally.
You betcha.
And
so we're seeing that. And to answer your question, this is what I absolutely believe is coming. Win or lose presidential race, whoever you think is going to be in, doesn't matter. We're going to have a civil war, because this isn't about just an election or a pandemic.
No.
This is about bringing in a very strict world government controlled by top oligarchs, very, very wealthy top oligarchs, and it will be a totalitarian system.
And if you want to buy certain things, you'll have to do it through Jeff Bezos and have it delivered to your door. Because we have to wear a face mask because we can't shop in certain stores. They'll find they'll create new infections out of nowhere for this virus.
They are now in Australia. They just are pushing for a law now to take quote unquote conspiracy theorists and put them in camps. This is in Australia. Okay, they're also putting out camps for children who might come up positive with these bogus false positive tests.
Yep.
Listen, this isn't really about the test of coronavirus. I guarantee if you're somebody standing against the mainline narrative, you'll come up positive somehow on something so they can grab you and take you away and put you away. That's just the way it's going
to
work.
It has
to. This is a sham. And the scripture tells us about a great deception, right?
Yes.
It tells us about how they're going to believe a lie. Most of the world is going to be inundated with this lie. And those who know, who are seeing something, the ones who know Jesus Christ are seeing it. And they know something dreadfully is wrong that's going on.
You know, one of the things that I can tell you is that I look at this nation, and I've had the opportunity in some of the work that I've done over the years to do a lot of travel. I mean, I've flown all over. There are only a handful of states that I haven't spent a significant amount of time. And there are the cities today. You look at the cities like a Baltimore that 50 or 60 years ago were places you wanted to live. I mean, you really wanted to live there. They were beautiful. They had excellent schools. They had the inner and outer harbor. They had everything going for it. And now they're violent, shell-shocked sewers. I mean, who wants to really live in most of Baltimore? The same is becoming true with New York City. The allure of having one time, my desire was to work in radio in New York, of course. Would I want to go to New York City now? Not even to visit on a dare.
Everybody's leaving.
all these cities, all these big metropolitan areas are where I really believe the sinister ones are trying to push people to live, because it is easier to control people within a city than it is when they're spread out in the country. And that's why more people are being encouraged to live in cities. I've saw that over the last 10 years. You know,
but can I give you my hypothesis? And yeah. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. My hypothesis. What you see happening right now is a massive exodus from the cities that are being burnt down by the mm-hmm. rioters.
Right.
The governors, who mostly are blue state governors, right, are allowing it to occur. And you have to ask yourself,
encouraging it, encouraging it.
34 major cities, are they allowing it to occur? And I'll tell you why. Because they're going to build different cities, but they're going to buy up all the real estate. Mm-hmm. So they need everybody out. And what people are going to do is move to, you know, the suburbs surrounding it a bit. Mm-hmm. And once power is gained, if that occurs, they're going to cordon off areas of suburbs like Indian reservations.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be stuck there. And eventually they're going to herd you back into smart cities that they've already designed. As a matter of fact, you can just Google domed cities.
Yes.
And you will see a plethora of architectural designs and plans for these cities. And once you're in there, it's kind of like, you know, ants in a little ant farm.
Yeah.
You're not getting out.
This is your
everything.
This is your environment. Everything's there.
Absolutely. So they're going to herd people back into there, and they're going to use it, right? They're going to balkanize the country, and then they're going to take sections of the suburbs with people there and treat them like Indian reservations.
You know, when you think of
some, they can do whatever. I'm telling you, that's what these eugenicists are going to do.
You think about places like New York City, and you look at Long Island, and a lot of people are saying, yeah, I lived in maybe Great Neck, which is still technically, you know, it's right there on the Queens. It's in Queens. It's part of the city. And they go, I got to get out of this sewer. I'm just going to move out a little bit farther, and maybe I'll go to Hicksville out in Nassau County, and I can still take the train. Or maybe or I'm going to telecommute for a while. That'll be the new thing. So, hey, let's sell our house here and let's move out to Smithtown, Long Island, you know, way out there.
And
they're going to think that they have found their peace and safety when they get there. And you're right, as these cities, you know, when Queens becomes torn apart, parts of Brooklyn get, you know, leveled down and changed. And all of a sudden you have all these, you're right, five different neighborhoods that make up New York and the most elite on Manhattan Island. That's how it's going to be.
Sure.
And the folks that jumped over to Jersey and went even a little farther west because they don't have to commute as much anymore. There's an encouragement. I think a lot of people that may be working for companies in New Jersey like Canon Corporation or you name any big company, they're going to have more telecommuters, and they're not even going to have to live in Jersey. They're going to go wherever they can. And because it's going to be changing the norm. Our new norm is going to be a lot of workplaces we used to go to are not going to be there much longer. They're going to be, you're going to telecommute and from wherever. I mean, that's going to be the first step to in dismantling the cities.
It will be. And that will also be something that's going to be contingent upon the biometric data, which mm-hmm. is what we spoke about last time.
Yes.
The quantum dot is going to be your immunity passport mm-hmm. to life, to the new society, right?
Right.
And this is what, I mean, we gave the patent information, okay, and the number, which you had mentioned last time, 060606.
Yeah, and when people are saying, oh, Bob, you're spreading some super conspiracy theory nonsense. Well, no, I'm not. You know, go to any.
Can I read to you? I'll read to you what a very high tech friend in San Francisco said.
And real fast, so people know. By the way, people always remind me to tell them what the name of the radio show is, because you know they sometimes dial in a little late. This is Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. You can find out about this program at our website, which is truth2ponder.com. Truth2ponder.com. Our guest, my guest on the program today, my good friend, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales, and you have spent, you're one of those kind of people like a journalist. You keep digging and digging, and you're not, the stuff that you post, and this is what attracted me to you a long time ago, is irrefutable. You know, you're not posting nonsense. I mean, I have people that are friends of mine that have the goofiest stuff that they post, which is obviously, you know, they want to believe it. They think they have some inside knowledge, and you check it out, it's bogus. But on this program, I really want this to be honest truth and facts. And that's what we're here for, to help you navigate the new world we're rapidly heading toward. Now, share with me. You shared this with me in an email, so I've already kind of looked at this. So this was just mind-boggling, but it's true. I mean, this guy's credentials are impeccable. So continue.
So what I did is, because I have that patent, which I sent you, and maybe you could put that up for people to look at, but I made sure it went to a gentleman I know who's another minister, and he has a very, very good friend, lifelong friend in San Francisco, who is a extremely smart, high-tech guy and works for a very big tech company. Well, he sent him this patent that I had given him, and this is what the guy says. He says, quote, "This Microsoft story with patent is a real deal. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about this, but this totally makes sense."
And what
I
did
need
he
to
do?
Look more
he,
into this.
Yeah, he went and checked out, you know, the actual website where you look for patents, and there it sits right in front of you.
Yes.
You can look for it yourself.
Yes. Yep. And he said, "I need to look more into this, but this is the most tangible evidence I've ever seen to date. And I'm still so much under impression of the Microsoft patent that you shared, okay, that it's blowing me away. I'm reading it now, and it's so real, it feels unreal. It completely fits in the description. It explains why it needs to be, quote, on the forehead or the hand, unquote, because it needs to measure brain waves and body heat. And it explains the direct correlation with the economic dependence of it. In other words, you can't buy or sell without the new cryptocurrency."
Yep.
He goes, "The fact that this patent was submitted on March 26, 2020, the very month when absolute majority of the world locked down, is startling," he said. He said, "The cryptocurrency system using body activity, that's what this patent is unbelievable."
You know, you're looking at basically the 26th, I'm trying to remember, you know, basically a week and a day was or so from where most, you know, that was the 15 days to slow the virus, to, you know, for the pause. We were going to do this for 15 days. And in the middle of those 15 days, while we're all trying to, you know, worry about getting how we're going to get through these 2 weeks, this is when this patent is put out, in the middle of our 15-day pause in the United States. It's when I mean, right dead in the middle. Right dead in the middle.
Yep. And as we said before, when we read from Revelation chapter 13, right, we can't buy or sell. That's a clear, plain sign that Jesus gave us about when this supposed mark would come in history.
Yep.
Everybody, small and great, free and bronze. In other words, the whole world. Okay.
Yep.
Not just one country, not one empire, the whole world.
Mm-hmm. And this has been one of the issues a lot of the end timers from 20 years ago, they could never conceive a world in disarray would ever get along on anything. And
that's
you couldn't do it. And we're seeing the ingredients. You know, these people, and I did a whole program on this with somebody the other day. These people that are going into this, you know, new Israel stuff or replacement theology stuff, and right in front of their eyes, these are people that maybe at one time believed in, you know, the idea of the Jewish nation being a fulfillment of prophecy. Now they've rejected it, and they're running around thinking that Jesus is your Zion, he is your city, and the scripture doesn't back it up. I mean, it says, no, these are my people, and I'm not going to break my promise. If I break my promise to them, then I guess I could break my promise to you too. And so, you know, you got... So that right before these same clowns that I've that have been doing, that are in the end time business types, not all, but some of them now have gone into this new British Israel or replacement theology. And right before their eyes, these so-called great wizards of the knowledge and keepers of all this stuff, and they're not seeing prophecy being fulfilled before their very eyes. They're blind all of a sudden. They're selling another book on something else.
Yes, absolutely. And they, you know, so listen, we're trying to be realists. We're trying to make sure we're not looking at anything in a wrong way or a hyper fantastical way. Yep. Mm-hmm. What we're looking at is we're looking at evidence. I do my homework. I try to make sure that if I'm going to pull something up, that it corresponds as best as I can see if it is. And I give it to people to second check me.
Yes.
To make sure I'm not looking at it in a slanted view. And the more I'm handing this to people, the more I'm getting back from them. And I'm talking religious people from all different denominations.
Yes.
Are coming back and saying to me, this is one of the scariest things I've ever seen. We might be there right now.
I know. And I'm not going to say we are or aren't, but I mean, it is compelling. Look, you and I come from a more sacramental tradition, and a lot of people listening would understand what I mean when I say a sacramental tradition. In other words, what the disciples did in gathering once a week and the breaking of bread, that is, quote, the Lord's Supper. And they were going to proclaim that and do that until he comes again. It's right in our liturgy. We will do this until his coming again. That is the beginning of the canon of the communion. We're reciting the words as St. Paul reminds us to do it. What have they effectively done in our lockdowns? You can't have the body and blood of Christ anymore. You can't have communion. And so you can't, because Jesus is infected with the coronavirus and Jesus is going to kill you, is what they've been telling us.
I believe that was the design, Bob. I believe that because the church has always been the target. And that, I believe, was part of this design, was to crush the church.
Yes.
And stop Eucharist, stop communion, and stop fellowship.
And singing.
Because there's the strength in the world, isn't it?
Yes. And you think of, look, one of my dear friends out in California attends Grace Community Church, Dr. John MacArthur's church. And you know the war that he's having with the governor and the folks in L.A. County. They're so mad at him right now that they want to do something to him because he and his congregation laughed at the regulations that they're trying to impose. And it's like, you can't laugh at us. We will punish you for laughing. You can't do that. You're going to spread the coronavirus laughing in that church. And so they're trying to paint this one church of several thousand people that show up on a Sunday as some super spreader of the virus, that everybody there is going to get it, and then they're going to go out in the community and kill more people. This is what they're trying to say. So I asked my friend, who's a former journalist and also is a practicing attorney. So I said, so how many people have tested positive? How many people have been hospitalized? And how many people have died that are from that church? And she said, I can give it to you in one word, zero. I said, what? She goes, zero. Nobody's gotten sick, nobody's been hospitalized, and nobody's died in this church.
Yep.
And yet they still want to shut it down because, you know.
Well, this is why MacArthur came out and he said, folks, from the pulpit, he said, folks, this isn't about a virus.
No.
And he knows it. And so he's fighting the fight for the to the state and the government right now,
you know,
constitutionally. But you know what scares me? How many churches are doing nothing?
And
have rolled over and shown their belly.
Yep, and they're all worried about the money and everything else that goes with it. I mean, look, as a bishop, which is what I am, within my church body, a leader. Early on, when my church has asked me, what do we do? I said, for the next couple of weeks, I can understand until we get a handle on this, it is fine to discontinue for a short amount of time. But we're not going to do this forever. I said, because when we start getting into forever, then we got something else going on. But I said, I'm willing to say, you know, be good people, be good citizens and neighbors, and say, okay, for a week or two or three or whatever the case is, we will do that until we get a better handle on this. I can understand that. It would be like having right. church in the middle of an air raid in England. You know, you kind of go to the basement or you do something else temporarily. You know, you know, the common sense. But has this thing dragged on and dragged on? There are some churches that I think really enjoyed not having to get together, and those churches will be dead and gone. They weren't that effective anyway, so that's actually a good thing. But on the other hand, we got people that are getting used to not going. They were marginal to begin with.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Because we're seeing that this isn't really about a virus, it is about something else, right? It's about this system being rolled out, and it's a system from top down authority, which is going to be very oppressive.
Yes.
It's going to be the slavery of mankind. But here's what's happening. As you see that being implemented behind certain agendas like viruses and racial inequality and all these things, people are not quite putting the pieces together. When we're told, to take heed that no man deceives you,
right.
and we're seeing this in this world. I spoke about this this cryptocurrency that's going to be on your body with a patent, and in the very microneedle is the enzyme luciferase, which I talked about last time. But notice this in Revelation 13. It says he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, lest he have, ready, the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. We've got both here, and when you see that, when you understand you've got the name of the beast and the number of the name and the mark all in one thing that's going to hinder you from buying and selling unless you have it, we've got some serious red flags, spiritual red flags for us as Christians raise. And I just want to read real quick from the Gospel of Mark, because I'm a verse-by-verse Bible teacher and preacher. I like to bring us through entire books.
And then we get to go to a break right after that. We're almost on that time, so go ahead.
All right. So, you know, he says here in Mark chapter 13, he goes, "But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils in the synagogues, and you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be preached among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, don't take any thought beforehand of what you will speak, neither do you premeditate on it. But whatever shall be given you in that hour by the Holy Spirit, speak, for it is the Holy Spirit that will speak before you." And it says this, "Now the brother shall betray brother to death, father the son. Children will rise up against parents and shall cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure to the end shall be saved." These things we're already seeing, how this very virus issue is dividing mother, father, from each other, from kids, family members, because those who cannot see the truth of what's going on are accusing those who can.
Yes.
And when the mark comes out, think of how much worse it's going to get when you can't join society buying and selling or anything without that mark.
Amen. I know it's coming. We have a break. We shall be right back talking with the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales here on Truth to Ponder. We're not some kind of end-time prognosticator ministry that is going to claim to know everything. But it's pretty, if you have eyes, open them up. The world around us is changing. And this program was started never realizing just how fast it's going to change. We'll be right back.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. So glad you're taking time to either listen on the radio or even as a podcast. We appreciate that. A couple of things I want to mention. The website, of course, is truth2ponder.com. Truth2ponder.com. And I'd appreciate hearing from you this week and your thoughts on this program. I never thought when we started this program I'd be talking about the things we're talking about today. We very well may be seeing prophecy being played out before our very eyes. And I've heard every theory over the past 30, 40, almost 50 years of what the end times could look like, and they've all come up, well, short, I'll put it that way. A lot of folk are hearing what we're saying, and they're going, yay, yay, yes, and amen. You know, glory to God, we're getting close to the end. But a lot of you folk may believe different than I do. A lot of folk, and I know them, I've met them here in the Bible Belt, they believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, and they're not going to have to see any of the bad stuff. They're going to be blown right out of here. They're going to be taken into the sky and gone. And the church never taught that. This is something that came out of England in about 1850, if I'm not mistaken. And it's worked its way into the American culture and some evangelicals. But I have an uncomfortable feeling about this particular theology. It means that Christians just don't prepare. They're not going to be ready. And we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. We need to be sanctified. We need to be truly committed to our Lord Jesus Christ and sold out and filled with His Holy Spirit. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But when you think you got a get-out-of-jail-free card or no-tribulation-for-me card, well, what are you going to do if you're wrong and you weren't ready? And that's what we're trying to do, is pass on not just knowledge, but to turn knowledge into wisdom. That's why my guest has been on this program today and yesterday, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. He is a clergyman like I am, but he's got a wonderful history. We've shared it on the program, and he'll be back on again very soon. I can already detect that. Tim, we were talking about being prepared, and I think that's kind of where you wanted to pick up on this side of the break. How do we get prepared, and what are we looking for besides the blessed, glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ? And, I mean, that's what it really comes down to. And then we need to also talk about those in the book of Revelation, for those that are thinking they've got their get out of the earth free card. There's a verse that you can't reconcile that says, who are these under the altar? And we need to talk about that part of Revelation. That's almost ignored. So go ahead. I give you the floor.
You know, it's true, Bob. I have a good friend of mine who is dispensationalist. He believes in the pre-trib rapture. I believe in post-trib, right? I believe at the end when mm-hmm. Christ comes back. Mm-hmm. And we joke. We get along fine. And he says to me, look, if I'm right, I'm going to explain it to you on the way up.
Yep,
and he said,
yep.
But, you know, if I'm wrong, he said, then I'm going to do what you said, which is I'm going to prepare as best I can now,
yes.
Just in case.
Absolutely.
And that is what we have to do. Hypothetically, everything I've been saying, okay, let's look at it hypothetically.
All right.
What you're looking at is a vaccination and digital currency coming. It will be in the form of a stamp that is written in the patent to go on your forehead or your hand. Go figure. The mm-hmm. patent's number 666. Go
well, 060606, but close enough. I mean,
right.
It still is.
It is. It is, and it's put right in your face.
Mm-hmm.
The quantum dot itself is going to be, it's going to contain, okay, polymers, composite semiconductors in the very tip of the quantum dot tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
The tip of these little spikes that go in you, and it's going to have immunization vaccines in it. So, in other words, inorganic materials, semiconductors,
mm-hmm.
DNA modifiers, dyes, and active agents. What it's going to do is it's going to turn us into like a human antenna that responds to the cloud, so
mm-hmm.
that we can also be modified and changed. Just think of the idea of Microsoft downloading its Windows into a human being. That's what this is ultimately going
to
be.
And what ought to scare you to death is if it's a Windows update. You know, I mean,
yeah, right. They can give you new vaccines, but not only that. If it controls and is used according to your body heat sensors, brain waves, it means it can also control them.
Mm-hmm.
So it can control you, and it will change you fundamentally. So
yeah.
You sit back and you say, I can never be me again autonomously. I can be controlled and manipulated as a human being in thought and will and body.
Mm-hmm.
That's slavery. That's not. So this is what, you know, tech is preparing, has prepared, and wants to initiate. So hypothetically, if this is the mark, don't take it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to win friends and influence people. You're going to be shut out of society, and you're going to have to learn how to survive without being able to buy or sell anything. But didn't our Lord talk about this?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he? You know, he even said to us this. He said, "Take heed, because behold, I foretold you all of these things.
Not to scare you, but to encourage you of all things."
Well, I always say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, fear those who kill the body, Jesus said. But, you know, you shouldn't fear those who kill the body, he said. But fear the one who can cast body and soul into hell.
In other words,
your body, you know, that's they can't take your soul. And that's the important part.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to resist. But what does it say in Hebrews? You have not yet resisted unto the shedding of blood for your faith. Well, that's coming. And many people in history have.
And a lot of those little Sunday school ladies are going to be in for the surprise of their life. You know, the ones that, look, I've used the term for decades called the cultural Christian. And, you know, you could expand that if you want to talk about those that were raised in, like, New York, New Jersey, that are Roman Catholic, cultural Catholics, and those of the Jewish faith that are cultural Jewish. But they don't believe any of it, really. They just don't. You know, they'll go to an occasional wedding or funeral, and that's all, and a confirmation. That's it. That's all they really do. They're cultural. They don't believe any of this stuff. They look at people like you and I. Oh, the nutcases are on the radio, or they're doing some conspiracy theory nonsense. Yet they're the ones that are wearing the face mask. They're the ones that are screaming for the vaccine. They're the ones that we're going to die if we don't do things, because all they've got is this life. And see, when you don't have the hope of the resurrection, you know.
Right. I saw this woman driving in her car. She had a face mask mm-hmm. on, a
gloves.
Face shield, gloves, everything. Nobody else in the car. And I thought to myself, you know, she's the one who probably thinks that the medieval Christians were superstitious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and like she's not, right? I sit here and I say this. Jesus said, look, watch, therefore, for you don't know when the master of the house is mm-hmm. coming, at mm-hmm. evening, midnight, or the cock crowing, or in the morning. He goes, you don't want him to find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say unto all, watch. Keep your eyes open.
Yes.
Love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Live your life. Love your family.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with preparing in ways that you feel is necessary for even events of the world or hurricanes, whatever. But spiritually prepare. Just be prayed up in the Word. Confessed up to the Lord. Whatever needs to be, make sure you're walking with him. And then whatever happens is going to happen.
Yeah.
And you're going to trust Jesus
you
Christ
can't stop
no
it.
Matter what.
You can't stop it. I mean,
no.
God's word has always been secure. It's always been right. And it's never been wrong. This is why I go after these clowns that are now into this replacement theology stuff. There's one guy, and you didn't hear it on yesterday's show before I brought you on. I played a little clip from one of these guys. You know, you and I are trying to talk something that actually fits the biblical narrative of what's going on.
Right.
We're going to talk about another aspect in a second. And they're more, last year at this time, they were more worried about the Beyond Burger changing your DNA where you became a non-human and couldn't be saved. I mean, this is the kind of stuff. Okay, so a bean burger is not going to turn me on and make me a happy guy. It just doesn't work. But it's not going to change my DNA. It's not going to alter me into a non-human that can't be saved anymore by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the kind of stupid stuff that's out there among some of these evangelicals.
Like you said, it takes things too far. This vaccine is going to have mRNA in it, which will fundamentally alter DNA, but you'll be different, but you're not going to be a non-human. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be soulless.
Yep.
You're not going to be any of the above. They might be able to tweak your attitude or whatever, but they haven't changed you into some non-entity.
Exactly.
All right? You're still a human being. The fact is, I don't want anyone messing with my DNA anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not taking this. But yeah, I agree with you. That's taking it one step too far, and it's scaring people into thinking we're all going to be like these drones.
And you're running off in this rabbit hole that's not even scriptural, while you're ignoring what God is doing right before your very eyes. You're blind. You're so into wanting to be the super expert on everything and lots of money rolling into the P.O. box every day that you don't even have the time to see what's really going on. Look, these guys that are now anti-Israel, explain to me now how Israel is not the nation that God said would come back to its own land and its own borders when you are seeing a peace deal. You know what the Bible said? They'll say peace, peace, and suddenly no peace. I mean, it's right in front of your eyes. You are seeing the mark of the beast being prepped. You are seeing your children being indoctrinated in schools and being separated from your family, where those kids will turn on their parents in a heartbeat. And they're being conditioned. This whole world has been in a systematic program for the last 50 some odd years. If you had tried to do all the things, think about the things that have happened in the last 5 years. And imagine if we tried to implement any of the stuff 50 years ago or even 40 years ago. Same-sex weddings, I mean, just to name one, and go down the long list of all the things that are happening in our world today that we just accept because we're so glued to our phones and our Facebook and all this nonsense. You know,
as we spoke before, we're not thinking anymore, right? But when it comes to Israel,
yes,
here's look. In Romans 9, we're told about a tree, and we have the wild olive tree, right? And you have the wild branches that are cut off. This is the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And the olive tree, we're the Gentiles right now. But what else did it say?
Mm-hmm.
It says there will come a time when God will take those branches he cut off and regraft them into the tree.
Yep.
Okay?
Exactly.
It's one tree. Mm-hmm. And that will be toward the end, which means he's been providentially working with the people of Israel, the Genea, the nation,
mm-hmm.
for centuries in order to be a witness to the world. And the church is supposed to be a witness to them that they might come into the church and we could be one in Christ, the middle wall of partition broken down. But we're there's still a nation of Israel out there that needs to be witnessed to because their Messiah has come already. And that's what we do in this world, hopefully. So no, they're not cast off to where we should turn a blind eye to them now and say, they're just horrible people who are cast off. They have no promises anymore.
Yeah.
Well, you're not.
Then God's a liar if that's true. If you say that, then you make
Absolutely.
God a liar. And I'm having an increasing problem with those kind. I'm having a real problem with that. You know, folks, you're listening to Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Once again, the website, if you want to check it out, is truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. Something that I'm having to prayerfully consider in the next few weeks. I use a few different platforms for distributing this program as a podcast. And there's some things I like about it, and there's some things I don't. Obviously, they're allowed to insert a commercial at the beginning or inside of the program. And I'm never certain if the actual spots you hear, and maybe if you are a podcast listener, if they're in contradiction to this program or not. Because the Lord's just laying on my heart that there's got to be a new way to share a podcast where you're not beholden to the tech tyrants and those that don't care about your message and may have a contradictory message involved. So if you hear something like that, let me know. I'm going to reach out to some people that I know in the technical world. I'm going to try to find a way to keep us connected when times begin to change and you can't rely on the normal channel. So I'm working on that. Our guest right now in the program, Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. And this program, we got about maybe 10 minutes left here. And I want to see if we can't kind of wind up in the next, 7 to 10 minutes. The thoughts you have, and we're going to this is going to have to go into, I can see you coming back later this week and into the weekend. So let's quickly kind of review where we're at and let's try to leave on an encouraging note. We can sit here and talk about the vaccine, the mark of the beast, can't buy and sell. We're looking at lockdowns. Look at the world. A country like Australia, the Aussies, the ones that I've known, have been pretty persnickety about their freedom in the outback. And now they have gone literally from one of those we don't care attitudes, we can do as we please, to being the most locked down and fearful in the world right now. I mean, if you say the wrong thing on social media, they bust your door down and arrest you for what you say on Twitter or on Facebook. It's insane. And we have governors in, quote, the blue states that are just as bad. And there's going to be a dividing.
And that tells us something. What I say here is this, and I'd like to just give a little bit of scripture here as an encouragement to people. First John, he says to us this to remind us. He says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God.
Yes.
And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we're going to be like him, for we're going to see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in himself purifies himself,
yes,
even as he is pure." Now, that's just in 1 John 3, and he's reminding us that we are different than the world. And when we wait for his coming, we are purifying ourselves. But in chapter 4, he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits,
test them,
whether they're of God."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because many false prophets have gone into the world. And then he skips down in verse 3, he says, "And every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, or has not, is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist."
Who's already in the world.
"Whereof you have heard that it should come."
Mm-hmm.
"And even now, it is already in the world."
Yes.
You are of God, little children.
Yes.
"And you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world."
This is the hope of all Christians. I can't even begin to tell you how the Lord has led me to those very words many, many times in a sermon message where I'm prepared for one thing and then God just leads me into that. It's like, stop. Don't think about what you were thinking about saying. This is your message. And it's been getting louder and more frequent as the last 20 years have gone by, a little over 20 years. We are coming into a time. This is a separation of the sheep and the goats, the wheat and the chaff, whatever you want, call it as you want to see it. There is a separation occurring. And it happened because of the pandemic here in the United States. But see, this is a worldwide pandemic. That's why you see it happening on the islands of St. Kitts or any other place around the world. It's not just isolated to the U.S. or Canada. It's Europe, it's Asia, it's Australia, it's everywhere, even South America. This is the first time in my lifetime that something has affected us on a completely global scale without exception.
First time in history, something like this has ever occurred on a worldwide scale.
And it's not going away. It's going to be around for a long time. I think that all these fears, and this is where you see good Christian people, as you described before, riding around in their cars with their face mask and a face shield and rubber gloves and goggles and whatever, by themselves in a car, living in fear.
Right.
As you said, don't fear the one that can kill the body, but the one that can throw the body and soul into hell. And this is what a lot of these good little Christians are missing. It's not about this life. It never was. And you're putting everything into this life, into this world.
And Scripture says he who seeks to save his life will lose it. Mm-hmm. And he who loses his life for my sake will save it. And really, Bob, I think the biggest thing I would say to everyone out there, be not afraid.
Be not afraid. Fear not. Our guest has been Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. And obviously, I'm going to have to bring him back. There's just too much on this topic. We've got to get the word out. And he and I are going to have to pray about what advice can we give to you going forward. It's like, okay, you keep saying prepare, and how do you prepare? And I think we're going to get into that later this week. This program is an effort on my part. I give the time to do this. I'm not asking for anything in return, but I want your prayers. Would you visit the website? Check us out at truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. Real quick, I'm going to give a mailing address here in Georgia where you can reach me. And I know a few people have asked, you know, what is the mailing address? Well, it's 21 Berkshire, one word, Berkshire, Berkshire Lane, at a number 263. That's kind of our box number thing we have to do up here. Sky Valley, Georgia, zip code 30537. That address again, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world. This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. So glad you're taking time to either listen on the radio or even as a podcast. We appreciate that. A couple of things I want to mention. The website, of course, is truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. And I'd appreciate hearing from you this week and your thoughts on this program. I never thought when we started this program I'd be talking about the things we're talking about today. We very well may be seeing prophecy being played out before our very eyes. And I've heard every theory over the past 30, 40, almost 50 years of what the end times could look like, and they've all come up, well, short, I'll put it that way. A lot of folk are hearing what we're saying, and they're going, yay, yay, yes, and amen. You know, glory to God, we're getting close to the end. But a lot of you folk may believe different than I do. A lot of folk, and I know them, I've met them here in the Bible Belt, they believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. And they're not going to have to see any of the bad stuff. They're going to be blown right out of here. They're going to be taken into the sky and gone. And the church never taught that. This is something that came out of England in about 1850, if I'm not mistaken. And it's worked its way into the American culture and some evangelicals. But I have an uncomfortable feeling about this particular theology. It means that Christians just don't prepare. They're not going to be ready. And we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. We need to be sanctified. We need to be truly committed to our Lord Jesus Christ and sold out and filled with His Holy Spirit. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But when you think you got a get out of jail free card or no tribulation for me card, well, what are you going to do if you're wrong and you weren't ready? And that's what we're trying to do, is pass on not just knowledge, but to turn knowledge into wisdom. That's why my guest has been on this program today and yesterday, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. He is a clergyman like I am, but he's got a wonderful history. We've shared it on the program, and he'll be back on again very soon. I can already detect that. Tim, we were talking about being prepared, and I think that's kind of where you wanted to pick up on this side of the break. How do we get prepared, and what are we looking for besides the blessed, glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ? And I mean, that's what it really comes down to. And then we need to also talk about those in the book of Revelation, for those that are thinking they've got their get out of the earth free card, there's a verse that you can't reconcile that says, who are these under the altar? And we need to talk about that part of Revelation. That's almost ignored. So go ahead. I give you the floor.
You know, it's true. It's true, Bob. I have a good friend of mine who is dispensationalist. He believes in the pre-trib rapture. I believe in post-trib, right? I believe at the end when mm-hmm. Christ comes back. Mm-hmm. And we joke. We get along fine. And he says to me, look, if I'm right, I'm going to explain it to you on the way up.
Yep,
and he said,
yep.
But, you know, if I'm wrong, he said, then I'm going to do what you said, which is I'm going to prepare as best I can now,
yes.
Just in case.
Absolutely.
And that is what we have to do. Hypothetically, everything I've been saying, okay, let's look at it hypothetically.
All right.
What you're looking at is you're looking at a vaccination and digital currency coming. It will be in the form of a stamp that is written in the patent to go on your forehead or your hand. Go figure. The mm-hmm. patent's number 666. Go
well,
figure.
060606, but close enough. I mean,
right.
It still is.
It is. It is, and it's put right in your face.
Mm-hmm.
The quantum dot itself is going to be, it's going to contain, okay, polymers, composites, semiconductors in the very tip of the quantum dot tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
The tip of these little spikes that go in you, and it's going to have immunization vaccines in it. So in other words, inorganic materials, semiconductors, mm-hmm. DNA modifiers, dyes, and active agents. What it's going to do is it's going to turn us into like a human antenna that responds to the cloud so
uh-huh.
that we can also be modified and changed. Just think of the idea of Microsoft downloading its Windows into a human being. That's
and
what this is ultimately going
to
be.
And what ought to scare you to death is if it's a Windows update. You know, I mean,
yeah, right. They can give you new vaccines. But not only that, if it controls and is used according to your body heat sensors, brain waves, it means it can also control them.
Mm-hmm.
So it can control you, and it will change you fundamentally. So
yep.
You sit back and you say, I can never be me again, autonomously. I can be controlled and manipulated as a human being in thought and will and body.
Mm-hmm.
That's slavery. That's not. So this is what, you know, tech is preparing, has prepared, and wants to initiate. So hypothetically, if this is the mark, number
yes,
one,
if.
Don't take it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to win friends and influence people. You're going to be shut out of society, and you're going to have to learn how to survive without being able to buy or sell anything. But didn't our Lord talk about this?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he? You know, he even said to us this. He said, take heed, because behold, I foretold you all of these things.
Not to scare you, but to encourage you
no.
of all things.
Well, I always say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, fear those who kill the body, Jesus said. But, you know, you shouldn't fear those who kill the body, he said. But fear the one who can cast body and soul into hell.
In other words,
your body, you know, that's they can't take your soul. And that's the important part.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to resist. But what does it say in Hebrews? You have not yet resisted unto the shedding of blood for your faith. Well, that's coming. And many people in history have.
And a lot
but
of those little Sunday school
here.
Ladies are going to be in for the surprise of their life. You know, the ones that,
sure.
Look, I've used a term for decades called the cultural Christian. And, you know, you could expand that if you want to talk about those that were raised in, like, New York, New Jersey, that are Roman Catholic, cultural Catholics, and those of the Jewish faith that are cultural Jewish. But they don't believe any of it, really. They just don't.
Right.
You know, they'll go to an occasional wedding or funeral, and that's all, and a confirmation. That's it. That's all they really do. They're cultural. They don't believe any of this stuff. They look at people like you and I. Oh, the nutcases are on the radio, or they're doing some
sure.
conspiracy theory nonsense. Yet they're the ones that are wearing the face mask. They're the ones that are screaming for the vaccine. They're the ones that we're going to die if we don't do things, because all they've
right.
got is this life. And see,
well, you
when
see,
you
I,
don't
I
have the hope of the resurrection,
woman,
you know.
Right. I saw this woman driving in her car She had a face mask on, a face shield, gloves, everything. Nobody else in the car. And I thought to myself, you know, she's the one who probably thinks that the medieval Christians were superstitious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and like, she's not, right? I sit here and I say this. Jesus said, look, watch, therefore, for you don't know when the master of the house is coming. At evening, midnight, or the cock crowing, or in the morning. He goes, you don't want him to find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say unto all, watch. Keep your eyes open.
Yes.
Love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Live your life. Love your family.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with preparing in ways that you feel is necessary for even events of the world or hurricanes, whatever. But spiritually prepare. Just be prayed up in the Word. Confessed up to the Lord. Whatever needs to be, make sure you're walking with him. And then whatever happens is going to happen.
Yeah.
And you're going to trust Jesus Christ
no matter
what.
You can't stop it. I mean,
no.
God's word has always been secure. It's always been right. And it's never been wrong. This is why I go after these clowns that are now into this replacement theology stuff. There's one guy, and you didn't hear it on yesterday's show before I brought you on. I played a little clip from one of these guys. You know, you and I are trying to talk something that actually fits the biblical narrative of what's going on. We're going to talk about another aspect in a second. And they're more, last year at this time, they were more worried about the Beyond Burger changing your DNA where you became a non-human and couldn't be saved. I mean, this is the kind of stuff. Okay, so you, granted, a bean burger is not going to turn me on and make me a happy guy. It just doesn't work. But it's not going to change my DNA. It's not going to alter me into a non-human that can't be saved anymore by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the kind of stupid stuff that's out there among some of these evangelicals.
Like you said, it takes things too far. This vaccine is going to have mRNA in it, which will fundamentally alter DNA, but you'll be different, but you're not going to be a non-human. You're not going to be soulless.
Yep.
You're not going to be any of the above. They might be able to tweak your attitude or whatever, but they haven't changed you into some non-entity.
Exactly.
All right? You're still a human being. The fact is, I don't want anyone messing with my DNA anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not taking this. But yeah, I agree with you. That's taking it one step too far, and it's scaring people into thinking we're all going to be like these drones.
And you're running off in this rabbit hole that's not even scriptural, while you're ignoring what God is doing right before your very eyes. You're blind. You're so into wanting to be the super expert on everything and lots of money rolling into the P.O. box every day that you don't even have the time to see what's really going on. Look, these guys that are now anti-Israel, explain to me now how Israel is not the nation that God said would come back to its own land and its own borders when you are seeing a peace deal. You know what the Bible said? They'll say peace, peace, and suddenly no peace. I mean, it's right in front of your eyes. You are seeing the mark of the beast being prepped. You are seeing your children being indoctrinated in schools and being separated from your family, where those kids will turn on their parents in a heartbeat. And they're being conditioned. This whole world has been in a systematic program for the last 50 some odd years. If you had tried to do all the things, think about the things that have happened in the last 5 years. And imagine if we tried to implement any of the stuff 50 years ago or even 40 years ago. Same-sex weddings, I mean, just to name one, and go down the long list of all the things that are happening in our world today that we just accept because we're so glued to our phones and our Facebook and all this nonsense. You know,
as we spoke before, we're not thinking anymore, right? But when it comes to Israel,
yes,
here's look, in Romans 9, we're told about a tree, and we have the wild olive tree, right? And you have the wild branches that are cut off. This is the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And the olive tree, we're the Gentiles right now. But what else did it say?
Mm-hmm.
It says there will come a time when God will take those branches he cut off and regraft them into the tree.
Yep.
Okay?
That exactly.
It's one tree. Mm-hmm. And that will be toward the end, which means he's been providentially working with the people of Israel, the Guinea, the nation, mm-hmm. for centuries in order to be a witness to the world. And the church is supposed to be a witness to them, that they might come into the church and we could be one in Christ, the middle wall of partition broken down. But we're yes. still... there's still a nation of Israel out there that needs to be witnessed to, mm-hmm. because their Messiah has come already. And that's what we do in this world, hopefully. So no, they're not cast off to where we should turn a blind eye to them now and say, they're just horrible people who are cast off. They have no promises anymore.
Yeah.
Well, you're not.
Then God's a liar if you say that, and you make
Absolutely.
God a liar. And I'm having an increasing problem with those kind. I'm having a real problem with that. You know, folks, you're listening to Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Once again, the website, if you want to check it out, is truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. Something that I'm having to prayerfully consider in the next few weeks. I use a few different platforms for distributing this program as a podcast. And there's some things I like about it, and there's some things I don't. Obviously, they're allowed to insert a commercial at the beginning or inside of the program. And I'm never certain if the actual spots you hear, and maybe if you are a podcast listener, if they're in contradiction to this program or not. Because I really, the Lord's just laying on my heart that there's got to be a new way to share a podcast where you're not beholden to the tech tyrants and those that don't care about your message and may have a contradictory message involved. So if you hear something like that, let me know. I'm going to reach out to some people that I know in the technical world. I'm going to try to find a way to keep us connected when times begin to change and you can't rely on the normal channel. So I'm working on that. Our guest right now in the program, Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. And this program, we got about maybe 10 minutes left here, and I want to see if we can't kind of wind up in the next 7 to 10 minutes the thoughts you have. And we're going to this is going to have to go into I can see you coming back later this week and into the weekend, so let's quickly kind of review where we're at and let's try to leave on an encouraging note. We can sit here and talk about the vaccine, the mark of the beast, can't buy and sell. We're looking at lockdowns. Look at the world. A country like Australia, the Aussies, the ones that I've known, have been pretty persnickety about their freedom in the outback. And now they have gone literally from one of those we don't care attitudes, we can do as we please, to being the most locked down and fearful in the world right now. I mean, if you say the wrong thing on social media, they bust your door down and arrest you for what you say on Twitter or on Facebook. It's insane. And we have governors in, quote, the blue states that are just as bad. And there's going to be a dividing.
And that tells us something. What I say here is this, and I'd like to just give a little bit of scripture here as an encouragement to people. First John, he says to us this to remind us. He says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God.
Yes.
And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we're going to be like him. For we're going to see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in himself purifies himself.
Yes.
Even as he is pure." Now, that's just in 1 John 3. And he's reminding us that we are different than the world. And when we wait for his coming, we are purifying ourselves. But in chapter 4... he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God." Okay, because many false prophets have gone into the world. And then he skips down in verse 3, says, "And every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, or has not, is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist."
Who's already in the world.
"Whereof you have heard that it should come." Mm-hmm. "And even now, it is already in the world."
Yes.
You are of God, little children.
Yes.
"And you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
This is the hope of all Christians. I can't even begin to tell you how the Lord has led me to those very words many, many times in a sermon message where I'm prepared for one thing and then God just leads me into that. It's like, stop. Don't think about what you were thinking about saying. This is your message. And it's been getting louder and more frequent as the last 20 years have gone by, a little over 20 years. We are coming into a time. This is a separation of the sheep and the goats, the wheat and the chaff, whatever you want, call it as you want to see it. There is a separation occurring, and it happened because of the pandemic here in the United States. But see, this is a worldwide pandemic. That's why you see it happening on the islands of St. Kitts or any other place around the world. It's not just isolated to the U.S. or Canada. It's Europe. It's Asia. It's Australia. It's everywhere. Even South America. This is the first time in my lifetime that something has affected us on a completely global scale without exception.
The first time in history something like this has ever occurred on a worldwide scale.
And it's not going away. It's going to be around for a long time. I think that all these fears, and this is where you see good Christian people, as you described before, riding around in their cars with their face mask and a face shield and rubber gloves and goggles and whatever, by themselves in a car, living in fear, as you said. Don't fear the one that can kill the body, but the one that can throw the body and soul into hell. And this is what this is what a lot of these good little Christians are missing. It's not about this life. It never was. And you're putting everything into this life, into this world. And I think...
And Scripture says he who seeks to save his life will lose it. Mm-hmm. And he who loses his life for my sake will save it. And really, Bob, I think the biggest thing I would say to everyone out there, be not afraid.
Be not afraid. Fear not. Our guest has been Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. And obviously, I'm going to have to bring him back. There's just too much on this topic. We've got to get the word out. And he and I are going to have to pray about what advice can we give to you going forward. It's like, okay, you keep saying prepare, and how do you prepare? And I think we're going to get into that later this week. This program is an effort on my part. I give the time to do this. I'm not asking for anything in return, but I want your prayers. Would you visit the website? Check us out at truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. Real quick, I'm going to give a mailing address here in Georgia where you can reach me. And I know a few people have asked, what is the mailing address? Well, it's 21 Berkshire, one word, Berkshire, Berkshire Lane, at a number 263. That's kind of our box number thing we have to do up here. Sky Valley, Georgia, zip code 30537. That address again, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.